It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break. But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. Break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough, where we want you to break through the plateaus and build a service business that can run and scale without you. And that way, you can grow to new levels of personal and financial success. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. I had a great reminder the other night when I was talking to Nancy Schick, who's one of my mastermind partners. I had my head down in the weeds for the last couple of months, really trying to turn out a new training program. I'm really excited about it, and I'm just about ready to tell you all about it, but not just yet. So I've had my head in the weeds, I've been in the details, and part of getting stuck there was that I wasn't picking up my head to see the bigger picture. So already, it's not even out of the gate yet. I'm not even finished putting all the details together. And my inner Eeyore is coming out saying, well, I don't know if this is ever going to work. I've put in all this time and money and effort. Maybe nobody wants what I have to offer. And Nancy, she sort of slapped me in the back of the head. As only mastermind partners can do. She said, what are you doing here? She said, you got to focus on the positive. You got to focus on the big picture. And it's part of where we as business owners very often don't balance things. We get caught up in those details. We get caught up in the day-to-day and forget to pick up our head, to look where we're going, to make sure we're actually going in the right direction, and to get enthusiastic again about that direction and that end goal and the opportunities that are in front of us. It's like a frog in water. If you throw a frog into boiling water, it's going to jump out because boiling water is hot and it's not good for you. But you put a frog into lukewarm water and you slowly turn up the heat. What happens? Well, the frog boils to death because it gets so used to the discomfort. Little by little by little, it's so gradual, we don't often realize it's all around us. And that's often what happens with being a business owner. We're so in those details over and over and over again. We forget, or we get used to a level of discomfort, discouragement, a level of problems that if we picked up our head and jumped out of the pot, we'd have a very, very different perspective. And that was a hugely valuable lesson that I'm so glad that Nancy reminded me. And that's why I love my mastermind partners. And if you're getting value out of our podcast, would you do us a favor? Please rate and review it on iTunes. Just jump on over to businessexponential.com/iTunes. It's right there. Rate and review it. We'd love to hear from you. And now for our guest. Nellie Acop, I had the pleasure of first encountering her when I was writing a magazine article for Enterprising Women. And what I find fascinating about her is that she built a business, you know, one of these typical garage stories. She built a business out of her two-bedroom apartment with her husband. It was an incorporation service. She was still in law school. And 8 years later, she sold it to Intuit for millions of dollars. And this was a business that provided a service. It wasn't a software company. It was a service. So I really wanted to have her here on the show because when you talk to people who have built and sold and created new businesses as she has, you really get to see the arc of the thinking process that goes into it and also the lessons learned. So we're really delighted to have Nellie here on Business Breakthrough today. Nellie, thanks for being with us.
Nina, thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
One of the things I find so just inspirational about your story and your journey is you started your first company, which shall remain nameless, in a two-bedroom apartment. I mean, this is like the Microsoft of stuff. I mean, you started with a two-bedroom apartment. You and your husband are still in law school, and yet you have an idea that suddenly goes in gangbusters. What was it about your business that was attractive to Intuit when they purchased in 2005?
You know, I think it was the fact that it was a very easy sale for them. It was a clean business. There wasn't a lot of investors. It was basically just my husband and myself. And it's so funny that you asked that, because that was one of the questions that they would ask us. You know, when we were going through due diligence, we found out that really we weren't the ones that they wanted to acquire originally. They were just doing their due diligence merely to find out information about other companies to go and put their offer to purchase, you know, the original company that they wanted to purchase, which was not ours. But mm-hmm. then when they found out that our company was so clean and there wasn't a lot of different parts to it, it was basically my husband and myself as the shareholders of the company. There weren't investors. There wasn't a lot of debt. That's what really made it attractive to them, because they would ask us, well, who are the investors? And we're like, there are no investors. It's privately owned. Who are the shareholders? Well, it's myself and Phil. How much debt do you owe? And I said, well, probably about $50,000 for the month on American Express, and maybe another couple of 10 or 20 grand on a Visa or MasterCard. So that, in relation to the amount of gross income we were producing at the time of the sale with the first company, made it super attractive to them. And it was something that they just wanted to get into the industry super quick without a lot of headaches. So our company was very attractive to them, and the sale was going to be able to be a clean sale and happen very quickly for them.
Wow, that is great. So as I mentioned, you started your business, the two of you were in law school, and yet you're being approached by this major company. Were there advisors who helped you prepare for the sale, or is this somehow something you knew by osmosis? What did you do to get ready for that kind of opportunity?
We never had an exit strategy. We never, ever had an exit strategy. In fact, when we started our company, it was really one of those ideas that my husband came up with under a little bit of, I guess, stress from getting out of law school, not really having a direction or a vision. And then because he was getting such a bad grade in his corporations class, he thought, you know what, I'm going to start putting together content out on the internet. And then I came up with this great idea of, well, why don't I not only put the content, but create a service that's going to solve a need out there, solve a problem out there, and cater to the masses. So there was not a lot of business planning and strategy behind an exit for us. It was merely an idea that we had that we were very passionate about, and really a way for us to go into business for ourselves, because we realized that the entry-level salary for a law school graduate wasn't going to really be sufficient to support the lifestyle that Phil and I envisioned for ourselves. And we were only children, and we are only children, so we really wanted a huge family, hence why we have four children together. And kids are expensive, so we needed to do something that was going to be able to support the lifestyle that we were envisioning for ourselves. So the idea of providing an online legal document filing service that was going to cater to the masses and solve a really huge need out there, which really is still a need, and there's still a huge lack of awareness out there that companies such as ours exist, made the business grow really fast, faster than we can ever keep up with it. So fast forward to 2005, when we were approached by Intuit, it was more like, okay, the conversation was one of, hey, we want to partner with you, and really quickly soon changed to one of, we want to acquire you. And frankly, we really didn't know much about the acquisition arena because we had never been exposed to it and really didn't have any plans to sell. So we were kind of looking at each other and our business manager at the time, and really looking at him going, well, how do you put a number on something you love doing daily and you're kind of not done building it to where you wanted to go? And I never forget his exact words were, Phil and Nelly, you better think long and hard, because the lightning doesn't strike twice again. Well, he was right about part of it, but the lightning does strike twice, in my opinion.
Right. But it does. I mean, speaking of lightning, it sounds like you absolutely had lightning in a bottle in terms of reaching the mass audience in a way that was new, finding that urgent need, because it's not every business that is able to go from, you know, zero to millions in 8 years without business planning, without an exit strategy. And as you say, doing it from your dining room table.
Well, I think there was a lot of different parts to it as well. The entry to market was super, super easy for us because in 1997, it was the birth of the internet era. And frankly, you put up a website and you started getting traffic to your site without even having any sort of merchant service technology. I mean, people would be calling us on our answering machine. There was answering machines at that time.
Right.
And leaving their credit cards on their phone as source of payment. So really, I think entry to market was super, super easy. Gaining market share in a very, very, very premature industry was super easy. And we entered at the right time and sold at the right time, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Great. And one last question about the old company. When you realized that it was shifting from a, partnering relationship to, acquisition, how did you communicate that with employees, clients, vendors? Did you have a sense that there is a right time or maybe a not right time to have done that?
That was the hardest part for us, Nina, because we couldn't talk about anything with the employees. You know, when you're dealing with a huge companies such as Intuit, everything is under hush-hush basis, and you have to be super, super diligent about who you can talk to and the type of information you can release, because you're under a ton of different types of NDAs and agreements. So that was, in my opinion, the hardest part, because we couldn't really publicize anything that was going on until after the due diligence was completed and until after there was an offer that was put on the table and accepted by us. So that was, in my opinion, one of the other huge, huge stepping stones and really viable events that happened in my life was the night that we had to announce the acquisition and get everyone gathered together across the street at the hotel across our offices and make the announcement at 10 o'clock at night, which for some it was a very, very exciting moment, and for some it was very bittersweet. But at the end of the day, it made sense and everyone was very happy, and we treated our employees really well. So it wasn't like we were just going to leave them in the gutter and just say sayonara, you know.
Sure.
Phil and I made sure that everybody was taken care of, and that if there was going to be a sale, that everybody was going to be remaining on and have a future with that new company if they wanted to. And that's exactly how it happened. And frankly, you know, Intuit no longer owns the prior company. They're privately held, and, you know, we're healthy competitors in the industry, and we wish them well.
Right. And so did you stay on at all with the prior company after that you were acquired?
I stayed on for a little bit, but after the acquisition, the culture and that entrepreneurial spirit changed for me, and I thought it was time for me to leave and just... It was timing, you know, it's all about timing. And for me, it was time to focus on my then growing 3 children at the time and just focus on growing myself personally. And once I left, obviously, they had us under a 3-year non-compete as part of the acquisition deal. And as part of that 3-year acquisition, as part of that 3-year non-compete, I mean, you know, we were not allowed to do anything similar within the industry. So we really focused on cultivating ourselves, nurturing ourselves, really growing as individuals. And then I soon realized that I was too young, too passionate, too motivated, and frankly, crawling out of my skin in not doing anything. So when our non-compete ran out in 2009, that's when I started my current company, CorpNet.
Right. So how did you figure out what to do next? I mean, did you say, I really want to stay in this industry? You know, you mentioned that you were feeling like you're chomping at the bit to do something.
Well, it's called really, really trying everything, rolling your hands up and really trying and dabbling in anything you can think of and that you're passionate about. So one of my passions is about art. You know, I loved art. I love fitness. So I dabbled in things that I really had a passion for, such as creating tie-dye t-shirts and apparel and literally selling it out of the back of my S550 at the time to different organizations, schools, fundraisers. And, you know, it was fun for me. It brought up a lot of my creativity side out, but it just wasn't enough. It wasn't really serving my true passion. I found myself dabbling in helping my friends with their businesses. I thought I wanted to get into the fitness industry and open up a cardio boutique gym, but really nothing sat and resonated more exciting to me than the idea of helping other people start a business and blazing their trails. So when it came down to it and when the non-compete had ran out, I really realized that I love small business, I love entrepreneurship, and my passion really lies in inspiring and motivating other entrepreneurs in, you know, helping them find what their true passion is and really helping them build their businesses up and sharing my journey with the rest. So right. That's really when I realized and came up with the conclusion that I just needed to get back into the industry. And then, mind you, also, it really helped to, you know, find out that nobody was really doing anything different. I mean, you had this big, giant gorilla LegalZoom, which today, as it stands for the household brand, and then hundreds of thousands of other competitors that had came in when we had sold, but really nobody was doing it the way I envisioned it happening. So for me and my mantra being there's always plenty of business to go around for everybody, and if you have that vision, passion, motivation, and determination, you can do it in the face of any obstacles. I decided it's time for me to get back into the game and start another company and take all my years of experience that I had and come out with something that's really going to help the masses in this new era, which is now called social media digital era that we were in. So that's when CorpNet was launched.
Right. And you were very fortunate in that when your old company was purchased, it was for a tidy sum that you could, I mean, I think I saw in one of your articles that you actually never had to work again if you really didn't want to, which is an enviable position to be in. So as you're thinking about, okay, I want to move into relaunching and starting a new business, how did you go about it differently?
I think for me, it was really about getting my thoughts together as to how I want to deploy this new business, what I want to do differently, and the things I learned from the old business that were working or were not working and how to do it so that it's better. But I think the first thing that I realized that it's no longer playground where you can pay to play. You really have to engage, collaborate, and really be out there cultivating yourself if you want to become a brand. And that's really the realization that I came to when I first launched the CorpNet. It was no longer about just putting up a website and getting business to the site. I had to be out there. I had to market myself. I had to engage in social media. I really had to be the brand for CorpNet and get out there, share my content, share my journey, share my expertise, and really start conversations out there to start establishing myself and cultivating myself as an expert in the field. And when I came to that realization was when we started seeing the fruits of our efforts really turn the company around and start seeing success with the current company.
Mm. So in terms of the structure of the new business, CorpNet, is there anything that you learned from the old company that you thought, oh, you know what, I could improve upon this? I mean, I'm just thinking, what are the lessons learned that you're now bringing into the new venture, whether it's operations, structure, as you mentioned, social media?
Well, with the old business, I mean, one of the things that's completely different between the old business and the new business is the fact that with the new business, I am the brand for the company. I am the spokesperson for CorpNet, and I'm constantly out there sharing my content and really acting and my voice as a business expert, mompreneur, entrepreneur, woman in business. So I'm very much engaged on a social medium with CorpNet, whereas with my old company, I was more operations and really doing the day-to-day operations of the business. Whereas with, you know, the current business, I'm not. I'm more the face, the social girl, really putting myself out there as a voice for people who want to start a business, manage their business, run their business, grow their business. So my time is taken from that sense, and the fact that I'm always doing interviews, doing webinars, podcasts, speaking gigs. I mean, last night I was speaking as the keynote speaker for the Women Entrepreneurs Association. So it's really, from that sense, very different than the fact that with the old company, I was more engaged on the day-to-day operations, actually processing the documents and really heading the day-to-day operations of the business. So that's one thing. And then secondly, with the current company, it's really more about engagement and the relationships and the reputation that we have with our clientele. It's no longer about that one single sale. It's about really establishing that relationship with that client, not only at the onset of them starting a business, but really throughout the lifetime, throughout the life cycle of their business. So there's a lot more engagement rather than just that one-off sale with our clients.
Okay. And how is that engagement unfolding? What are you doing differently in terms of engaging those clients so that you're staying with them in those different touch points as their business grows?
Well, I mean, it's really about staying in touch with our clients and just listening to their needs. And, you know, I don't want to share all my secrets, because I'm sure hundreds of thousands of people listen to what I'd like to do. And it's a huge compliment, because we're always copied by everybody else. But truly, it's about establishing those long-term relationships with your clients. And in my opinion, just going the extra mile, wowing your client, giving wow service, you know, because here's the bottom line is, in this day and age, in my opinion, again, it's that word of mouth that gets you that extra sale. It's that client experience. It's about the additional steps that you take with your particular client to make them feel special. That, hey, I care about you. I listened to your needs. I reacted to your needs. I took steps to take care of your needs. So, for example, for us, we're one of those services that literally when you call our number from 6 a.m. until 5 p.m., you will not get a recording. You will get a live person answering the phone and really taking you through the steps of what you need and to patch you through the department you need to get patched through. And in this day and age, you don't find a lot of that. Everything has become so automated, and the human element, the human aspect has been lost through the power of automation and iPads and texts and emails and whatnot. So for me, it's very important to keep that human element very alive at our company, CorpNet. And that's actually a culture that we not only employ from our employees, but we demand it, is that personal, customized service that we provide to our clients that really, really allows CorpNet to be the superior brand and hold that high level of customer service with our clients.
Right. And so you touched on something in terms of the human element. In your prior company, you and your husband owned it. I'm assuming it's you and your husband now?
Yes. Yes.
And now,
so Bill
and now
is my business partner.
Right. And so now, instead of it just being the two of you in a two-bedroom apartment, it's you and your husband and four children and a business.
Yes. And the business is not in a two-bedroom apartment, obviously. I mean, even with CorpNet, we developed the idea and cultivated the brand in the basement of our current home. We have a little room off our garage. So we started there. And then once the business launched, we move into our offices. And now we're in about a 5,000 square foot office in Westlake Village, California. And the headquarters here, we have about 10 plus employees, in addition to many other people who are on our team and on our executive team. And, you know, we just love to blaze people trails and help them in finding what their passion is, cultivate that passion, and make that business dream into a reality for them.
You know, and what's interesting is hearing that you seem to have a very strong and solid track record with your husband as a business partner. You know, the statistics on business partnerships and success are really not very encouraging. So how do you, first of all, maintain that work-life balance when your work partner is also your life partner?
I want to be completely transparent with you. We have our issues. And I sat here, and if I told you everything is perfect, I'd be lying to you. I think it really comes down to trust and respect and putting your egos aside when you're working with your other half, and you not only have an intimate marital relationship with them, but you're also having a working relationship. For Phil and I, it just works. It's that power of two that makes those magical moments happen for us, both in our personal life and in our business. But I think it really boils down to really respecting each other, putting our egos aside, and when it comes down to the business and making decisions for the business, really doing it in the best interest of the business. And, you know, we're not always right, and we're not always going to agree, and we don't often agree. But at the end of the day, somehow we come together, and it works. It's worked for over 23 years, and we've been married 19 years of it, and we're doing something right, I guess.
That's terrific. So in the situations where you don't agree, because obviously if you have, you know, one says yes and the other says no, you're kind of at loggerheads. What kind of resolution approach, mechanism, whatever you want to call it, do the two of you engage in to finally decide what that course of action is going to be?
We're very, very open to getting opinions from outsiders and for people who work with us very closely. And we have a very, very strong core team that started this company with us. So oftentimes when we don't agree on an issue, we'll look to talking to our executive team and hearing what they have to say. And then if we still don't agree, we have a business coach that, you know, we work with on a monthly basis, once a month, that will go to her and will try to figure things out. But at the end of the day, I think when your heart's in the right place and when you have the same vision and passion, you'll get to the answers of where you need to go. And frankly, our personal life and our personal relationship is very strong. So that always helps, because when you have a strong marriage and when you have a strong intimate relationship, it always helps. And I think helps to promote and cultivate your business relationship. And we try to keep things separate. So we try not to bring our, you know, business issues at home, and we try to keep it separate, although sometimes it's hard, you know, and when we have to, but most of the time it's super, super separate. And then the other thing is that we keep it spicy. You know, we don't let that spice die down. So once a week we go to date night, whether it's with other friends or just the two of us, but we try to incorporate those elements of fun and engagement into our relationship, because otherwise when it becomes all work, you end up just becoming like a brother and sister. And I never want that to happen with us.
Right. And then that is a danger for so many business owners, even if they're not in business with their spouse, that they don't have that own personal balance, so that they don't feel that breath of fresh air. And every day, when every day is all about work, it becomes drudgery and hard.
Well,
to
not
see
only that,
picture.
And I think one of the things that we're really good about is the fact that we remind each other, you know, that, hey, you know what, it's time. You know, you need to take a break. Or, you know, he'll go through a little bit of a hard time and he'll be like, you know, I just need to reset. So we're very in tune with each other's needs. And, you know, we're best friends. I mean, that's how we met. We met in college under the guise of being study partners. So the core, the foundation of our relationship has always been truthfulness, respect, honesty, and being friends with each other. So that really helps in every aspect of our relationship, whether personal or business.
All right. So Nellie, as we come to a close, are there any other tidbits of wisdom from your perspective of having built and sold and building another company that you would want to share with our listeners just so that they can plant it in their heads and look forward to similar success?
So I would say for those of you who are trying to start a business and have this idea or passion, my mantra is just go for it and try it out. Don't go all out. Maybe test the idea out with people who are going to ultimately write the check for it, not with friends and family who are going to tell you whatever you want to hear, but really with people who are going to pay for it and in the long run. But do it. If you have a vision, if you have a passion, and if you really believe in it, and if you believe in it to the point of asking yourself, would I believe so much in this business or idea that I would work for free to build it? Then you have to do it, because if you don't, you're always going to wonder and it's going to always haunt you. So that's my first tidbit of advice. Second tidbit of advice is for those of you who are already in business and are kind of in a rut or are in kind of a plateau or are fearing failure, you know, failures are always, in my opinion, kind of like a red flag of it not working and there's another opportunity out there for you to try and for you to see. So God's testing you. You know, if they're putting obstacles in your way, it's really to test and see whether you have what it takes to really take your business and turn it around. And in my opinion, that's what entrepreneurship is all about. You're not always riding the waves, but you got to embrace those crashes as well.
You know, and so I know I said that this was going to be a last tidbit, but you raised something that I think is interesting, and I just want to go down that road for just a moment. How do you distinguish between a failure simply being a test of resolve and a failure being a signal that, maybe you need to pivot or try something else?
The way I see failure is failure doesn't mean, in my opinion, you failed and you need to shut down. Failure, in my opinion, this is just the way my mind
right.
is built.
Yeah. Solely your opinion.
You know, the opportunity is not presenting itself here. So either pivot and try something else. And if the opportunity is not knocking at your door, well, you go find another door and open it for yourself, because that's what it's all about. Entrepreneurship, in my opinion, is not settling and never taking no for an answer, because that's what entrepreneurship is. If you have passion and vision and determination, and if you really believe in something, you're going to make it work. So for us, for example, when we were starting CorpNet, everybody and their mothers was laughing at us. They're like, you're crazy. You're going to get into a saturated market that's become a commodity after you've sold that company. I mean, you're going to completely make a complete idiot out of yourself, Nelly. And that, in my opinion, was more of gas and fuel for me to want to prove everybody wrong and really prove to myself that there's plenty of business to go around for everybody. And if you're passionate about something, and if the opportunity is not knocking at your footsteps, at your doorstep, then you go knock on a door and open another door for yourself.
Wonderful. Nellie, all great encouragement, words of wisdom, and a really inspirational and exciting story that building and selling a service business can be within our grasp as well. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. You have a wonderful day.
Hey, thanks for listening. Remember, go over to businessexponential.com right now and download our 10 steps to a $1 million business. We lay it out for you step by step, the 10 building blocks that'll have you building and growing your business so it's not so dependent on you. Won't that be a relief? Of course it will. So do it right this minute so you don't forget. You'll see it there on top of the homepage. Go to businessexponential.com.